Good evening, sir.
Is it?
I mean, it's evening.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really make any value judgments.
Well, you were half right. But, you know, it is always morning somewhere.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So there, you have that to not look forward to.
And just like in the mornings, I am hitting the mute button while I yawn because I am tired.
Mm-hmm. And
isn't that kind of the rule now? Like, I have to say I'm tired at the beginning of every episode?
No, I thought that was just what you did. Like,
well,
always.
After you pointed it out, I decided that I had to keep the thing running. You know, I'm all about traditions, as we talked about last week.
Yes. Traditions.
How's your week going?
I'm tired.
Don't steal my IP.
Yeah, it's a cross-licensing arrangement.
I think people really responded well to our cross-marketing promotion with the Taken series last week.
They did. And unfortunately, I would also say they responded well to something else. Please stop sending tweets to Casey Liss.
I did feel a little bad.
It was funny for a little bit, but poor guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was pretty confused. At what point did you fill him in on the joke? After the first one, or the second one, or
after the first one, because it seemed so vague, and he was perplexed that I was just like, don't worry about this thing. And I had also hinted at the fact that he might have been mentioned in the episode of Upgrade preceding that tweet happening. So then I was just like, wow, this also feels a little awkward. So I sent him a little time-stamped dealeroo so we could listen to the part that mentions him to see that it really wasn't that bad. We didn't do anything untoward with his name, with the stunts.
Mm-hmm. You also posted a direct link to my explanation of Wetzel Dogs. I appreciated that.
Yes.
We're all about sharing information, and it is very important that we get that information about the Wetzel Dog out to as many people as possible.
I'm really kind of sad, though, that the official Wetzel account did not favor it or engage with me at all over that.
Well, they usually take a day, I think, to at least see what's going on. So maybe they'll catch up. Maybe they're a little behind.
No, I think they probably listened and they were like, oh, they're talking about how our food might upset your stomach in certain ways.
Well, you were. I thought I was rather complimentary about the Wetzel Dog.
Yeah, well, you know.
Can't always choose how people decide to engage with your brand, unfortunately.
Yeah. You can't always engage the way you want.
But you can try. That doesn't work.
I gave up after I said the first part. But thank you for trying to rescue that. It was a heroic endeavor.
It was a lazy effort. You know, as we stated, this is a sleepy episode. We're just going to keep it nice and mellow for everyone.
We'll just fall asleep. Sure. Just be silenced.
Start snoring into the microphone.
that would be pretty good. Nobody would see that one coming.
We'll make it like a meditation. Everyone take a deep breath in and then out. Oh, wait, no, people might be listening in their car. We don't want people to fall asleep in their car. That would be bad, wouldn't it?
Yes, although I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, their phones might be plugged in which case we should not say anything that might trigger a voice-activated thing on their phones.
You mean like Ahoy wristwatch?
I guess like that, but more like, you know, I was going to say it, but I can't say it now.
Are you talking about triggering some sort of Manchurian Candidate syndrome?
Oh, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? You'd be like, hey, Ahoy phone, your operation is a go. Order 66. Kill the driver. change Wait, the guidance directions on the maps.
What if they are the driver?
Well, we haven't got to that point yet. That's what the Apple car is for. Then we execute Order 66.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Remember Order 66?
I do.
Yeah, that was a good movie, wasn't it?
That was the second one or the second one, right?
No, that was the third one.
It was the third one.
Yes. They all just blend together, don't they?
Little holographic man on somebody's hand said, kill all the Jedi.
Yes, execute Order 66. And then it was just a montage of CG and people we had never seen before.
I was Order 66 at Rubio's one time. I took a picture of my receipt.
Oh, okay. Did that similarly kill you?
No, it didn't. No.
Okay. Well, that's good. Because I don't want Rubio's to infringe on Wetzel's killing territory. there.
Neither of us have been killed or even close to killed by fast food products, so I think we're okay.
Well, I think I got food poisoning from KFC one time.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone's gotten food poisoning from KFC. That's part of their brand.
Mm, yes. Killing food syndrome or something. That wasn't a good one. But I was listening to, speaking of better things, I was listening to Cats Per Mango and to our previous trailer.
That's a good episode. What show is that?
I think it's called The Flophouse.
With that one guy who's got the funny voice, and then those other guys who drank.
Yes.
Well, the one guy drinks, the other guy just talks.
Yes.
And sometimes they have a third or fourth person on that's a guest.
Ah, what a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, someday, maybe. We can do that. But so Cats Per Mango was about the Age of Ultron trailer, and then we had our trailer follow-up when the first Star Wars teaser trailer came out for The Force Awakens. Just in case we're saying this and somebody's listening to it in like three more years when another Star Wars movie is coming out. the Force Awakens, and then the Jurassic World with its worldliness. And we talked a little about teaser trailers through the years, and we talked about our feelings on that. And I thought it was oddly prescient. Some of the things that you said about the Jurassic World trailer, now that I've seen the second follow-up trailer.
Yeah, they really laid all their cards on the table, didn't they?
Yeah, so this past week, all of the movies have decided to release teaser trailers again in mass. It was just like one giant migration into the skies of the internet. With
a flock of pterodactyls, only trailers.
I was going to say Canadian geese, but you know, that was probably a better reference that you made since we have a flock of those.
Did you have dealings with Canadian geese recently?
No, but I always keep them on my mind, you know, because they're Canadian and they're geese. You got to be careful. I don't know. Let's go back to the pterodactyls. I think I said something that's worse than the movie.
I've never once had a thought that involved Canadian geese.
Okay, well, maybe you should think harder. I don't know what to tell you. Canadian geese.
You are a peculiar man.
Okay. Well, yes. I mean, obviously. But that's a trailer that happened. And it's funny because it came out, the Force Awakens second teaser came out, and the Genesis, I don't know, second, third, fourth, I don't know what they're on right now. That came out, and the Man of Steel, very first one, came out, and a Tomorrowland one, which I think is the second or the third or whatever of Tomorrowland. So all of these things just dropped all at once, and they're all for these big blockbuster, action, special effects, visual effects, extravaganzas, primarily targeted mostly at, you know, getting everyone and their siblings to go to the theaters and see these things. And so it's interesting to go back and revisit that whole thing again, especially since several of these are the same films that we already talked about. So Dan, would you like to weigh in with the good trailer first or all of the other terrible trailers?
Sure, let's start with the good one. I assume you're talking about Star Wars.
Yes, I am talking about the Star Wars. Again, The Force Awakens, in case you're listening to this in 3 years. What do you think the next one will be called?
You mean Rogue One?
No, but that's not the next Star Wars
movie. Oh, right. That's the Star Wars spinoff.
Star Wars Anthology series is what they're calling it.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I think the next one is probably going to be called Episode 8.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm relatively certain.
Well, okay, that's an interesting theory, but as we know, there is no episode 9 because 7, 8, 9. So
you're the worst.
I feel pretty bad about that right now.
Have you been drinking?
No, I haven't. I'm just so tired. I was tracking things and I was adjusting edges on keys. Fiddly little things. My brain is cooked.
Fiddly little things. Has your chelate primate keying method failed you?
No. It's just that if you don't shoot a green screen with a lot of green in it, it substantially increases the difficulty of trying to use the green screen.
Mm.
So,
would you have preferred they picked a different color or no color at all?
I would have preferred they just put more green in the green screen and less reflection and stuff. But enough about me. Let's
talk about Star Wars, which probably doesn't have any green screen in it at all.
Not sure about that one. But with the Star Wars teaser, the second one, has been received rather warmly, I would say, by basically everyone and their grandmother. So
a lot of happiness, a lot of nostalgia, a lot of fuzzy feelings.
Yeah, it is all good stuff. It's really, you know, you can't really fault it for any one particular thing. I have some general concerns that are gnawing at the back of my mind, but that's only because I've been let down by
Star Wars properties Star Wars. In the past.
Yeah, I mean, once or twice or three times, who's counting? But there's some of that just lingering back there where I'm just like, you know, this is awesome. And we're seeing a lot of awesome stuff and a lot of great, amazing things are happening. But there are a lot of things that are referencing stuff that I like already about Star Wars, very heavily, and to the point where I hope I'm not going to sit down and watch this and it's going to feel like I'm watching a fan film, you know, where you're watching just like the Sith Lord who stands in for Darth Vader, and you're watching the good Jedi who stands in for Luke Skywalker, and you're watching the woman who stands in for Princess Leia. And you're hearing them like bat around all of the same lines, you know, I've got a bad feeling about this, etc. So I do have a bad feeling about that. But you know, that could easily be remedied when the movie comes out. I'm very optimistic about this one. And I think that, there's a lot of good, interesting stuff in here, that we don't know any of the story, which is good. We know that it has something to do with the Force. Also good, because that's good for Star Wars, I think. Better than trade embargoes, I'll tell you that.
Well, I think there are at least one or two little things about the story that we can assume, especially given casting, and particularly the voiceover. It appears that there is at least one bit in the trailer where our elder Luke Skywalker is passing the light baton to his child of some sort.
I don't think that's him. That appears to be a woman.
That is receiving it. I don't think the person handing it is a woman.
I thought it doesn't matter. There is a really heavy duty dissection of every little tiny thing inside of this trailer in The Incomparable.
Mm-hmm.
I intentionally didn't
listen because I didn't want that to color our conversation.
Oh, okay. Because I listened, so it's colored.
Colored like a coloring book.
Technicolor.
Now that I'm looking at it, yeah, that does look like a rather thin wrist. But, you know, if nothing else, I think we have the opportunity to avoid the new people standing in for the characters you love based on the fact that some of the characters that you love are actually in the movie. So
yeah, one might say they are home.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, they would say that.
Oh, they would say that. Okay. Would one of them in particular say that?
Maybe the one who's still rocking the Brady Bunch style haircut, yeah.
Okay. Would you say it's his singular role?
No.
In the trailer?
Sure.
His solo opera? No, anyway, fine.
Who made that joke on Twitter that you're stealing it from?
Nobody. I did that. Did someone else do that?
I have no idea, but it sounded like a joke from the internet.
Well, I mean, I am a joke. So let's move on. Yeah. It's all good. I like it. It's got interesting stuff, and it's better than the first teaser. Even though I also was hopeful and optimistic about that one as well.
Yeah, we've got some people. We've got some stormtroopers. We've got a stormtrooper sports. Space Black edition here walking around, who's pretty cool looking.
Well, if you ask me, I think that they took it into compositing and somebody just accidentally put down an invert node.
Somebody meant to invert their alpha, but they left it on all instead.
Yes, yes. And so we have the white, I don't know, vent cooling grills. No one write in and tell me what they are. I don't care. And the all black metal stuff. It would have been nice though, if they had done like an all black version, you know, murdered out, as they say.
I don't think they say that anymore. That's very 2005.
Well, this does take place a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Are we certain? Because this is after all of that. So this could be much closer.
Okay, so a little while ago?
Not quite as long ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, hopefully they don't use that when they open the movie, because that'll be a disappointment, Dan.
A lot of good stuff in here. A lot of stuff blowing up. People running around. I do have two things that bother me that I can't qualify as bad, but they are things that I dislike personally. The first one, which will probably be very contentious, is the opening shot. I guess the opening shot for a couple reasons. I did poke fun that it looks exactly the same as the opening shot of Star Trek, the first J.J. Abrams one, where it's a very wide shot of a landscape with a motorized vehicle cruising across the landscape and a giant foggy object in the distance. But that really like soft, sad John Williams score that's only behind like that first shot, I don't like that song. I don't have any nostalgia for that song, and I don't like it.
Well, you're wrong. Your feelings are wrong. Search your feelings, you know them to be wrong, Dan.
As one of the co-hosts of this podcast once said, let me feel my feelings.
Okay. Well, they're felt, and they've been dealt, and now they're destroyed. I have nuked them. Your feelings are no more. They've ceased to be.
And then of course the other thing is the digital CG snap zoom when the Millennium Falcon is being chased into. This looks like the turbine port or the jet port of the crashed destroyer in the dirt.
Yeah, I wasn't a super huge fan of that either, because you know we really kicked off the whole like snap zoom like with completely fake, not real stuff thing with episode two, where they use that to document, I guess, the completely fake battle that was occurring. I don't have super warm feelings about the use of that, because it does make you think, like, so there's a camera crew, like, scrambling around. Like, I'm much more comfortable with the omniscient floating camera that, you know, doesn't draw attention to itself than one that is scrambling to keep up with the pace of action. But, you know, hopefully they don't do that a lot, because that would just grate on my nerves.
It's bad, and it shouldn't be in there.
Uh-huh. Okay. Calm down.
Calm.
Okay.
Calm when you are.
Okay. But the thing that kind of irked me a little tiny itty-bitty bit, not that it irked me, because, like I said, I like this.
We're splitting hairs, to be sure. Honestly.
Yeah, yeah. This is nitpicking at the nth degree. But in that opening shot where we see the X-Wing first, and then we see the Star Destroyer, is just that I'm very impressed by whoever was piloting that Star Destroyer, because to bring it down like that so intact is quite an accomplishment through the atmosphere of a planet, and then somehow slowly sliding it along so as to not completely destroy everything about it. That was quite an achievement there.
Well, the backside has a fair amount of holes in it, but do we know what these things are actually made out of?
They're made out of metal, Dan.
Well, I know, but are they made out of, like, adamantium?
I don't know. Made out of phony baloney Star Wars metal.
Well, then maybe they're made out of adamantium or vibranium. If it works for Captain America, they can use it here, and that's pretty strong.
Yeah, but they've blown up these things before. They blow up. They go boom.
They had the capacity to explode.
Yes. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with Return of the Jedi, where someone else made a landing. Or to say the absence of a landing into the side of the Death Star 2.
Hmm.
Remember that?
Well, maybe when they're in a vacuum, they explode not necessarily because they are weak, but because the pressure inside is so strong that once that is ruptured, it just escapes so quickly that it just tears the whole thing to shreds.
Yeah, or maybe they just wanted to have a recognizable, iconic silhouette for the Star Destroyer in the opening shot.
It's very possible.
I'm going to go with that one. So buttons.
I think they call that fan service.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Well, also, I mean, that's what I'm saying is like I'm concerned that this whole thing's going to be fan service, but I'm currently eating the crack that they are doling out.
Sure. But is it possible for a movie and a franchise the size of Star Wars to not? I mean, even if, is there a way to make a movie that doesn't feel like fan service or pandering at all? I mean, if you completely remove everything from the previous movies, people are going to be sad. And it's just going to be like, well, it's just a world with lightsabers. But if you do too much reference, people are going to think you're just trying to win them over with the goodwill that they had for the previous movies. Like, is there a win-win situation? If it kind of feels like lose-lose no matter what they do.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not possible for them to manage expectations for this kind of thing.
Nope.
But we're tentatively excited and looking forward to seeing it. Is that about right?
Yeah. I mean, it's only the fourth Star Wars movie that has come out in theaters brand new since I've been alive. So, you know, there's no way that this one can also be a disappointment. Statistically, at some point, one of these will not be terrible.
That's how statistics works.
No, I know. But I'm just optimistic. Let's move on to things I'm not optimistic about.
Well, I had one more question.
Oh, okay, fine.
It will be released in both regular theaters and ridiculous 70mm IMAX. Do you plan on seeing it in one or both of those venues?
This is a tough thing because I, as you know, did not see Interstellar in IMAX because I thought the whole idea of jumping in and out of different aspect ratios and film media and everything was going to be distracting. So I just like, screw it. I'm going to go see it like the general public. But for Star Wars, I kind of do want to go see it in IMAX, but I want to go see it in real IMAX, not the phony, like we're calling it IMAX, but it's just a slightly larger screen. That one, mm-hmm. Not that, you know, real authentic, farm raised, pasture raised IMAX.
Artisanal 70mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's probably my plan as well, just because there are so few instances of 70mm movies. But I mean, you know, I don't, as we talked about at length in Interstellar, I don't really love that experience either. But I would like to see it in both places, particularly because I was intrigued at your description of some of the visual effects and the way they held up in regular projection, digital projection versus what I thought in the film projection. So it might be interesting to compare in this one. So
yeah, we'll find out. Christmas. It's going to be an exciting Christmas.
It's a long ways away.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of time for them to release a couple more trailers that give away way too much plot.
Yes. And a holiday Christmas special.
I don't think they're going to do that again.
Oh, okay. But moving on to, like I said, things I'm not as optimistic about. There was the Jurassic World trailer, which came out hot on the heels of this. Sorry. Man of Steel came out hot on the heels of this. Then it was Jurassic World.
Right.
So let's not skip Man of Steel, because I think it is very important to highlight the difference.
Well, first, we can stop calling it Man of Steel because it's not actually called Man of Steel.
Yes. There's that. But that's all I can
Superman
think.
Dawn of Justice.
That name.
Yeah. I'm not entirely certain what this is actually supposed to be the dawn of, particularly based on this trailer, but maybe there's some dawning in there.
Well, maybe. It's always darkest before the dawn.
And, you know, there was a very dark night, but I thought he rose. Maybe even though he rose, he was rising with darkness, so it's not necessarily rising toward dawn. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't
but,
know.
But in this trailer, our Man of Steel is represented by a large man of probably aluminum, probably a little bit cheaper. This large statue, it might actually be a stone statue. It's hard to tell. It's very CG. And there's a lot of off-screen voiceover, as we talked about loving in so many movies, where it's just sort of news reports cobbled together to give us as much exposition as possible. As we slowly push in towards this statue of presumably Superman because it's in shadow. And they're all talking about how apparently it's hard to tell whether or not they're saying Superman has grown a large ego or if people have just gone nuts since he has revealed himself and he's kind of a de facto cult leader and all of these people who follow him blindly and bow to him as this superior being. And what's the line they say? Everyone's so caught up with what he can do, they're not not asking what he should be doing. And there's a lot of people raising their hands out to him as if he is some sort of savior. And then, of course, somebody has painted false god across the chest of his statue. So, dun, 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 there is doubt in the good nature of Superman.
Yes, and Ben Affleck has a new Batman voice. And I
we cut to Ben Affleck just staring at his suit, being very angry. And, you know, let's get to the voice, I guess. Batman has always had sort of gravelly voice, and there have been varying theories as to whether or not the suit kind of does that for him to help hide his identity, or if they just do that to be intimidating. But he's in super extra exoskeleton Batman in that particular instance, where he's got a metal Iron Man style suit on top of his regular already very large and bulky suit, and he basically has a vocoder on or something. He's got echoey electronic reverb as he's with his glowing eyes while he's shouting at Superman floating in the air.
I'm not a fan.
No, it's a peculiar choice, and I don't know if they'll try to justify it or if they'll just go with he's wearing a big electronic metal suit and it does that.
Well, a lot of this is a lot of this is based on Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns stuff-ish, kind of. So, you know, I'm not happy because it's just going to be... I look at this and all I can feel is just, like, sadness. Like, there's... While, you know, Star Wars filled me with hope and joy and enthusiasm to go to an actual movie theater and see something... This made me recoil. it's not a good trailer. Like, and you know, there's some argument to be made. Like, well, should your trailer represent the movie, or should it just get people into your theaters? And in the case of Man of Steel, I feel like this might represent the movie. Time will tell. But it does not make me want to go to a theater at all. Period. Done. End of story. Not happening. This looks like crap.
Well, I'm going to say a little different. I am intrigued enough to want to know what is happening here. I've actually wanted to sort of like do a little bit of research on what the comic book storyline was because, I find this peculiar. I know that there is this storyline in the comics where Batman is sort of old and disgruntled, but, how he got here and how he could go so crazy such that he thought this would be an endeavor that he would pursue. And, you know, there's this one shot where they're spinning around where he's standing on top of a building. And I had to watch it a couple times where I thought he was just standing next to an antenna that he was holding onto. But he's actually holding a large sniper rifle, which is actually from the Christian Bale movies, kind of against his credo. He doesn't use guns. But in this one, he is... apparently old and grumpy, and he's not following his own rules anymore. And that aspect of it intrigues me a little bit. I don't really have any sort of affinity for Zack Snyder's version of Superman. We talked about this offline, but I watched Man of Steel again recently, and that movie is just a disaster. It's abysmal. But you know, I guess I can... They're asking you to make a whole lot of leaps in this trailer, you know, to
leap a tall building, if you will?
No.
In a single bound?
Much larger than a tall building. You're supposed to leap over the first movie and then fill in like two or three movies worth of goodwill on the behalf of Superman, where then eventually half the population turns against him. And then somehow Batman is old and disgruntled, and he somehow thinks that there is a job for him to do with regards to straightening out Superman. But we have no indication as to what has happened to Superman. He seems to have fallen into a role where people are following him around. We don't see any reason that he would be abusing that. So there are a lot. I mean, this trailer brings up a lot of questions, and absolutely none of them are answered. I think there is some interesting imagery in the same way that there is some... interesting imagery and all of the things Zack Snyder does, but you know, his track record with the movies themselves is not necessarily the greatest. But I am intrigued enough to see the combination of these two properties and what they could possibly be doing in the same frame. Just the fact that Batman and Superman are having this sort of stare down in the same frame intrigues me enough to potentially get me to buy a ticket. But that's about as far as we go. There's no plot here. There's no understanding of what's going on. It's just a teaser and some interesting imagery. And I find it fascinating in the sense that it at least makes me continue to think about it after I've watched the trailer.
Yeah. And okay. I mean, it's not their job to, you know, answer all of the questions that they raise in these. Like, they're just supposed to. It is something to make us want more, to make us want to pursue this. But that's the thing. It's just like, I don't want to pursue this at all. This is like, you know, giving me a jar of capers that you peed in and then saying, don't you want to go have the rest of this meal? No, I don't. This is unappealing to me.
The things that we can tell about this story, there's not a happy moment in this trailer, so it's certainly going to be a bleak movie no matter what. I mean, whether it's well done or not, this is not going to have a happy ending from the looks of it. So that has something to do with, particularly in Star Wars, you know, there was always hope and aspiration and sort of an underdog story. In this one, it's just two psychotic Supermen, no pun intended, just sort of making faces at each other, and presumably they're going to fight. Like, what is the struggle there, and what is the story that is going to rope us in? I can't possibly see one, but just sheerly based on what I see in this trailer, I'm intrigued to find out more. I think that I want to find out enough that it may convince me to watch the movie, but maybe I'll read a synopsis of what actually happens in the comic books if this parallels a comic book, and I'll say, oh no, that's a stupid idea. And now that I've read that, the trailer is colored differently in my eyes, and I'm not interested. But just based on this like hodgepodge of things in front of my face, I go, I don't know what that's all about, but it's interesting, kinda.
I don't know what it's all about, and it's not interesting at all. And this also happened the same week that the director for the next Wonder Woman, the only female director for a superhero movie, and the only female-centric superhero movie, she and Warner Brothers parted way over creative differences. And then I see this trailer, and I'm like, oh, so maybe she had taste or something. Like, I have no idea. Like,
Well, it's
concerning.
We've seen enough Zack Snyder at this point that we know what we're getting into when we look at this trailer. Like, If you look at this with your Zack Snyder lens on, you can see what he did and what potentially the screenwriter did. So,
Hold on. I need to turn up the contrast on my Zack Snyder lens.
And don't forget the saturation, but only in like two color channels.
Yes. Yes. And then blood. I'm going to cover the lens in it. There we go.
Well,
isn't this dark and mature? And isn't this for adults? Now that we've covered everything in blood and cranked the saturation and contrast?
No, this is for angsty teens who think violence is the answer.
Yes, this is exactly how I feel about this kind of work.
But it's Batman versus Superman. Like, is there a way to tell that with an intelligent sort of more broad story? I'm not sure there is.
Well, I think
there's room in the docket for superheroes beating the living crap out of each other's story, as long as it's not the norm.
No. Okay. To be clear, I'm not objecting to the premise of this, that the two of these people would fight, because they have fought many times in the past. Superheroes fight a lot. Tons of times. Because people are like, oh man, wouldn't it be crazy if so-and-so fought so-and-so? And they're like, totally doing it. And then it becomes like a thing. And then they're like, by the end of it, they're like, oh, this was a misunderstanding. We're friends again. And so, like, that happens all the time. And so I'm not against that. I am against what this movie is showing me in order to get me to go see them do this fight. And I will be curious to find out when Marvel does their very similar Civil War stuff, where we're going to see Captain America and Iron Man go against each other. I wonder how that's going to turn out in comparison to this. Because another thing that Marvel has going for it over DC is that the only thing we have to go on for this DC movie is the previous Man of Steel movie, which, well, a lot of people have negative feelings about.
And it's a garbage fire.
Yes. And so that's the only thing to go off of, and we're leaping right to this point. Now, of course, we were familiar with the mythos of Batman, but this movie is also going to cram in whatever defines the Ben Affleck version of Batman. It's not a continuation of what Nolan did in his movies. The thing that Marvel has going for it is they're building this entire apocalypse universe of all of these characters that they can move towards ahead, towards their big overarching goal over many, many films. So it feels a little like DC's just trying to like just go past a few steps that are important and then just have these two action figures smash into each other for an hour and a half, 2 hours, which I don't think they can necessarily make that leap over a tall building.
Yeah. So, you know, if we are, and maybe that's where the problem is, I'm sure in this trailer, they don't want to give away whether or not there is any sort of a defined good guy versus bad guy. Like, we've spent enough time, like you said, with Iron Man and Captain America that we know both of them essentially have the same goal, you know, being good guys, protecting from the bad guys. Tony Stark is a smartass and he's going to do things his own way, and that's just fine. Captain America is incredibly idealistic, sometimes to a fault, and you could potentially, based on your personality, side with one of those guys over the other, and that could be an interesting conflict to watch. In this one, first of all, if we go based on the previous Batman series, it's kind of hard to identify with Batman, even as idealistic as he is and as willing to sacrifice himself as he is. It's kind of hard to identify with him. And then making that leap to trying to see how he became this person where he has broken his rules and he is fighting somebody who is ostensibly on his side. And then trying to make that leap where Superman is in this odd position and we don't care about Superman at all at this point because Zack Snyder has not made us care about Superman. There's a lot of Zack Snyder's either going to have to do a whole lot of making up ground in the first act of this movie, or we're just going to be thrown into the mix with characters that we feel like we kind of should know, but we don't know at all. And then it's just going to be, as you said, things smashing into each other for a while. And it's just going to be, I mean, which, you know, that worked for 300, and hopefully he's not just trying to go from there, because, you know, 300 was a thing, kind of, at least in mythology. But if you didn't know anything about those quote unquote characters in 300, you could still enjoy that film for what it was, just a smash 'em up, stab everyone kind of movie. In this one, he's playing with bigger action figures. And if he were to do something similar where he kind of glosses over everything you need to know about the people and just smashes them into each other for 2 hours, that's not going to turn out quite as well, I don't think.
Yeah. But there was another thing that also really teed me off, is that I feel like we are supposed to like this, according to some of the press that I've seen. Prior to this trailer coming out, there were pieces in Variety and in The Hollywood Reporter about the teaser trailer, when it would be available and everything. And then there was the leak, and that moved up Warner Brothers' plans. They'd show it earlier than they were planning on. And, you know, it seems like there was a lot of effort put into that, but no one seems to like it in comparison to, like, I don't know, Star Wars, which also came out at the same time. Like Graham McMillan in the Hollywood Reporter wrote like a big long piece about how fans are unjustly maligning the movie just because they didn't like the first movie, and that that fans should be more excited about this, and that they aren't giving it its fair shake. And I don't feel like I'm not giving it its fair shake. I still don't want to see the other previous movie that preceded this. It's there's nothing about this that makes me want to go see it. And I still haven't seen it. I haven't seen The Man of Steel. So it's just, I just don't know why there is this empathy that we're supposed to feel for DC here. Like they're the underdog or something, or that their stuff is just as good as Marvel's stuff or whatever. But I don't get that sense at all. I think they've screwed the pooch. And they continue to screw the pooch. This poor pooch. I feel bad for the pooch.
Well, like we said, there are no warm, fuzzy feelings that one would receive when watching this trailer. It is going to be a bummer of a movie. It may be a cool action movie, but there's not a happy save the world story in here from all appearances. And, you know, in conjunction with that, we have the internal feeling of what have you done to my Batman? And, I still don't care about Superman. And then it says what, coming 2016 or something. So that's really all that's here. So, I think we've probably pulled this apart as much as we can. Would you like to move on to dinosaurs?
Yes. Let's move on to dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs are, you know, they are an attraction. Like, they're interesting enough on their own. So why do you have to really gussy it up and make it any more, make it any bigger than it was in the first place?
Yeah, because they need more wow factor, Dan.
Yeah. I mean, they're dinosaurs. They don't have any wow factor. You have to add wow factor to the dinosaurs.
So angry. So angry.
Did we call this one? I didn't listen back to the previous commentary, yeah. But...
You specifically were talking about how that all of the dinosaurs would be under control except for the new genetically engineered dinosaur, which would cause problems. So when I was watching this trailer, when I was listening back after I had watched the trailer, I was just like, "Yep, Dan hit the nail on the head." I don't know how you read that from this Nostradamus, but you pulled it out of there. This looks like a catastrophe. And it's one of those things where it starts off with probably one of the more ridiculous things that I've ever even just like pictured in my mind before.
And you're referring to Chris Pratt, attempting to illustrate what mutual respect between raptors and human beings looks like, which is apparently, him sticking out his hand and telling them to stay and them not eating him.
Yeah, so Chris Pratt is trying to convince us through this exposition that dinosaurs, you know, they wanna eat and they wanna sleep and they wanna something else that involves a fist. Through learning all of this stuff, he's developed a way to identify and speak with the velociraptors, to train them, to follow his commands. And to be part of his motorcycle gang. So I just can't even, like, what? What? How do you even write this? Like, even if you were, like, doing, like, Jurassic Park fan fiction or something, like, this isn't even a thing. Like, how did you're just like, ah, I'm so angry.
Yeah, the first Jurassic Park was at least attempting to be rooted in science and at least something believable, and we are just so far from there. And I wrote down one thing on a card when I was rewatching these trailers, and it's a line from Chris Pratt's motorcycle gang portion of the trailer. Do you know what line I wrote down?
No. Delight me with it, please.
If we do this, we do it my way. Which is a line that should never be in any movie ever, let alone a movie where we're talking about controlling dinosaurs and riding around on a motorcycle with them. Like Chris Pratt, first of all, if you were in some sort of situation where there were dinosaurs that were running amok and causing trouble, you would just do whatever you had to do. Like, there's no, we've got to work together as a team to defeat the dinosaur, or we need to outwit the dinosaur. No, no, you don't need to play a game of wits with dinosaurs. You need to run away from the dinosaur. End of story. This is not a battle of wits. But before my blood pressure gets too high, let's back up and just reiterate the premise here. The premise is that the park is apparently not doing great. The park is doing okay. They have their dinosaurs under control. It has been a thing for a couple of years now. And every time they have a new attraction, they get a bunch of new people coming to the park to see the new attraction. And, we get the actual quote, "Corporate thought it would be a good idea to genetically modify a dinosaur as this new attraction, because apparently they've run out of all the potential dinosaur attractions. They've gone through all of them, and they're all contained, and they're all jumping through hoops doing fancy stuff, and people are bored of them. So now the only thing left to do is to genetically modify a dinosaur to make it bigger and scarier and more frightening, and holy crap, it gets loose and starts killing everything. Duh.
Not just all of that, but smarter. Because
sure, it's got to be smarter.
Yeah, intelligence key factor in a deadly animal that you're trying to jail. What is
well,
they
don't want it to just eat the goat. They want it to be able to stand on a barrel and roll around inside of its pen while eating a goat. Maybe juggle, because they gave it some really great dexterity in those hands with the large claws. So maybe it's supposed to juggle while it eats a goat.
Yeah, you mean that really plasticky, super shiny hand that came out?
The hand that, while apparently dispatching all of the guys with guns wearing Android watches, grabs somebody and throws him as a way of killing him. Because that's a thought a dinosaur would have. This guy, I want to kill him. I'm just going to grab him and throw him up into the trees. Like,
oh, well, Dan, that's the thing
Hulk would do to kill somebody, not a thing a dinosaur would do.
No, but you're forgetting the really important thing, Dan. This dinosaur has figured out how to talk to the other dinosaurs to get it to be on its side for when it takes over everything.
And it is smart enough to remember where its tracking chip is and tore that out. Okay, first of all, this dinosaur is so large that you genetically modified it to be bigger than a T-Rex, and you can't find it, so you have to put a tracking chip in it. And it's apparently communicating, and like, basically they're saying that they invented the Hulk. They invented the Hulk with teeth and claws, and it's out, and it's killing the lovely vegetarian dinosaurs for sport, apparently. Sport is a concept that dinosaurs have now, and it's just going to kill a lot of guys because it can. So they genetically modified something that naturally produces the steroids that make it just go insane and destroy everything.
I hate this movie. There is nothing they can show me that they can show me at this point that will win me back over to their side, because they've shown me so much. They've shown me so much, and it's all terrible. It's not just terrible in a very mild, inoffensive way, like, oh, maybe that visual effect will be better by the time the movie comes out, or maybe they'll change that music cue to be more interesting or something. They're spilling the beans on who the villain of this is, which of course is technically the corporate that made them engineer this thing, and they'll come to see the error of their ways, whatever, blah 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 blah. That's not really the thing. The action movie villain of this is going to be this crazy genetically engineered dinosaur. The whole thing with the velociraptors, the whole thing about controlling them, like, this is so far off the reservation of what I want from a Jurassic Park movie that I am not going to even entertain the notion of going to a theater to see this. If I am flying on a transatlantic flight and I've run through all of the other movies, I will maybe consider this. Maybe. this is just abysmal. This is stupid. I can't abide this kind of idiocy. I mean, I know it's a movie about dinosaurs that are genetically engineered to be brought back from extinction and put inside of an amusement park. And, you know, on paper, that idea sounds ridiculous. But Steven Spielberg sold us that idea in the 90s and had that beautiful movie. And someone tweeted a link to the original trailer, the teaser trailer for Jurassic Park, in the 90s, the way it was constructed. That rings true to what that movie is, tells you all the things you need to know to make you want to go see that movie, and it doesn't have things that insult your intelligence. This thing that they made here for Jurassic World insults my intelligence. It doesn't make me want to go see the movie. It doesn't fill me with any sort of wonder or excitement or amusement at the prospect of seeing dinosaurs on the big screen. This is just awful. This is like soulless. I don't know. It's just as bad as the RoboCop and Total Recall remix.
Yeah, it's like the sugary candy fast food like Twinkie version of a movie. It's just like, give them all and everything and just pile it in all at once. And of course they're going to love that because we gave them everything all at the same time. And, you know, this probably comes at a good time to contrast against something like John Wick. And, you know, I've talked about in the past sort of smaller movies that I really sort of enjoy. Like Drive is another one where it's essentially a really small scope of the movie, but they do a great job of building drama. And same thing for John Wick. I mean, what is John Wick about other than, you know, somebody kills the guy's dog and he goes on a murder rampage and he shoots a bunch of people. That does not have the same scope as an island full of genetically created dinosaurs and then a new dinosaur that is created that's better than all of them and smarter than them and then goes around killing all of them and then people have to fight it. Like, they can rein in the scope and add drama based on, you know, good filmmaking and good storytelling. And that's why we liked the original Jurassic Park. Sure, there was the sort of hook of this, you know, bringing the dinosaurs back to life. And that got us interested. But the reason we stuck around is because there was a story with drama and intelligence and as you said, a soul. And this movie here appears to lack all of that. And, you know, I won't go quite the same way of you saying that I will never watch this. I will probably watch this at some point because I like train wreck movies, because I like to see every little bit of why it is a train wreck and potentially what they could have done differently. But just from watching this, this should not be in the same lineage of the Jurassic Park series. This should be something else. They should just call it Dinosaur Movie Number 3 or whatever. They should just put this in a different universe, because this is not a Jurassic Park movie. This is not interesting to the people who thought Jurassic Park was interesting. It's just it's a mess of visual effects and one-upsmanship.
Yeah. Chris Pratt, Raptor Whisperer.
And, well, you know, I don't want to blame him either, because I want to say, like, okay, Chris Pratt was so hot right now, so get me Chris Pratt. And this is one of those movies that came out of that period in his life where he wasn't maybe necessarily going, all right, this is not a great movie, but, you know, it's a big movie and I want to do some cool big stuff, so let's see how it pans out. Maybe he just had too much faith in whoever was signing him up for stuff at this time. But I'm not ready to blame him for this one, because there's just so much wrong with this.
I wasn't really blaming him.
We need to make sure, because we have a track record of saying bad things about Chris Pratt.
Oh, yeah. I'm just mocking him. Is that not, should I not do that either?
You know, he seems like a nice person.
Okay. Yes, he does. I like him as a person. I don't care for his character in this film.
His character in this film is sadly one of the least offensive things, or at least not the most offensive thing.
Okay.
Anyway, what else we got?
It's a long list. And then I think it's pretty safe that we can, I don't know, put it, let's tie this one up with the Tomorrowland, which also came out yesterday. And it was weird. It caught my interest because Brad Bird was tweeting a lot on Twitter about how, as one does on Twitter, about sure. how people shouldn't necessarily watch it unless they aren't already won over on seeing the film, because it does kind of reveal a lot. And I was sort of surprised and intrigued by this. It's sort of like saying, don't watch this because it will be terrible for you, and then you watch it anyways. So I watched it, and I think he was right to offer that warning, because it does. It is weirdly constructed in that it inserts this giant action scene in the middle of the trailer, and it also reveals something about the conflict in particular. It's just very. I'm kind of, you know, beating around the bush here a little bit. So fast forward 10 seconds. They're robots.
The bad guys are robots.
I was just like, this is so weird. Like, why did they release this trailer set up this way? Like, I don't know anything about the movie any more than I did before in any of the previous trailers. But now I know that they're robots and there's this action scene and they get away and there's all these crazy ray guns and stuff. And it's just like, okay, well, it doesn't tell me more about it like, I don't know why any of this is going on, but, you know, I mean, it's this I might actually go see, even though I'm confused, because it's, you know, Brad Bird, and it has what I think are some very nice looking effects from ILM. That, you know, it can't really be that bad, right? I mean,
it's got Hugh Laurie in it. He's good.
I mean, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out, but yeah, I don't, what are your thoughts on this?
It, you know, it is curious that they essentially have an entire scene, you know, sort of an abridged scene of the movie in the center of this trailer, which, you know, when you see trailers that either reveal way too much of the plot, like, you know, those ones that feel like they're 5 minutes long and go through every beat in a story, or one that just generally has so much stuff in it, you go, why did they show me that? Usually those movies don't fare super well. Like, they put it all out on the table and go, like, this is what this movie is. You're either going to see it or you're not. And most of those movies are not super great. So it's a bit peculiar here, because this movie does seem good and interesting. And maybe it's just because this is a large blockbuster special effects style movie that does not really have any pre-existing material for people to go, I want to see that because that's the sequel to this other movie that I really liked, that people need to be won over a little bit more by the story because they don't know anything about it coming in. Like, it's easier to sell Avengers 2 because a lot of people liked Avengers 1.
But this isn't story, though. This is
well, you got to hook them somehow. And I think they're trying a couple different ways. Like, the first trailer that we saw leaves a little bit more to the imagination but gives a little bit more of the overall plot. This one puts you into the action a little bit more to show you that there's risk. I don't know. There's people coming after them. It's more than just like exploring this fanciful world that you see when you hold this pin. There is actually a ticking clock, as they say in story terms, to this movie. There's a reason that they have to go do a thing instead of just
Tower.
Like. Sure, right. You know, it adds a little bit more to the drama. So you're sort of assembling this kind of narrative in your head that you still don't fully understand, but you're getting a little bit more familiar with it. I don't know. It's an interesting way to go. I wouldn't necessarily have put that much in there, especially the robot part. Because, I mean, there's some cool stuff in this new trailer. Like, the part where the guy gets stuck to the wall and he shoots his gun and it cuts that weird triangular hole out is neat.
Yeah, and, but I want those surprises in the film.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's why I'm saying, like, I understand why Brad Bird even put out a warning. Like, if you're not already sold on it, and I wasn't sold on it, so technically I was going to go see it. But now I'm still at the same point where it's not like I'm completely sold on it, but I'm not more interested because of this, but I am still going to go probably see it. It's a weird thing to be on the fence if you're gonna reveal this much stuff.
Yeah, they're pushing that part in. I don't know if you remember the other trailer where he's got that sort of like holographic dog that's trying to keep her away from the house, and she eventually sort of like swipes her hand through the dog's head to see that it's a trick. Like, that hints at George Clooney's character being obviously this intelligent sort of futuristic inventor, perchance from another world. And I guess maybe they thought that was too subtle in sort of revealing why he's in this movie, which is why in this trailer he's got, you know, well, they showed the bathtub in the other one too. He's got the bathtub. He's got that sort of like transporter Stargate thing that they stick over the head of the robots. He's got the magnetic walls. He's got the metal shutters that close everywhere when he hits a button. Like, he's Doc Brown from another dimension in this trailer. And I guess maybe they just wanted to add a little bit more of that intrigue that wasn't really in the first trailer, but I don't think it was necessary. I rather liked the subtlety of the holographic dog that said all of the same things to me with one shot rather than, you know, a minute and a half of it.
Yeah, okay. Let's move on to another thing that says way too much, and that's Terminator Genisys.
I didn't watch this trailer.
You didn't watch this trailer?
No.
Oh.
Let me watch it real quick.
Yes.
The f*** did I just watch?
Yep.
I don't know if I can continue that. That hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you were a machine nanobot carbon T-1000 hybrid from the future thing, then who was yourself sent back to kill your mother, then maybe you wouldn't be so hurt.
Let me just attempt to digest what just happened here.
Please do.
So this starts in the same timeline where they're trying to prepare for Skynet ruining everything, which it does. It blows everything up. And then John sends Kyle back from the future, as in Terminator 1. But when he shows up, he's in an alternate timeline where Arnold is already there. And he's old. And he's terribly unconvincing as either a robot or a human being or anything. He's back in his Total Recall days of being a terrible actor, apparently. And I felt this after anything after Terminator 2. Arnold just, like, he's saying the lines and not turning his head very much, but he's not even remotely convincing as anything other than just an old man. And then he's in the timeline, but earlier, so he's there when his younger self shows up and he fights him. But there's also a T-1000. And then there's also John Connor, who comes back in time, who is now a nanobot Terminator robot.
Yes. And he's there to kill someone. For reasons. And I'm confused.
And I saw a billboard that said Genesis on there. So maybe there's some sort of technology thingamabob that happened that... How many plots are in this trailer? Six?
All of them. All of the plots.
And of course, Arnold says all of his famous lines again. Get out, I'll be back.
And then she gets to say, come with me if you want to live.
They reverse that there.
Oh, isn't that clever? No, this is one of those things where it's like a combination of telling you too much and a combination of fan service, that creates this amalgam of, shit.
This trailer just put my brain in a blender. I don't.
Heart in a blender?
No, not the song. Okay. there's a description under the trailer. When John Connor, leader of the Human Resistance, sends Kyle Reese back to 1984, an unexpected turn of events creates a fractured timeline. Now Sergeant Reese finds himself in a new and unfamiliar version of the past, where he is faced with unlikely allies, including the Guardian, Arnold Schwarzenegger, dangerous new enemies, and an unexpected new mission to reset the future. So they're going headlong into the time paradox and saying, we went back and we broke it, and now there's a new timeline, and now we have to uncrush the butterfly in the past to make the timeline turn into the timeline that it was, or to turn it into the timeline that we want. What?
I'm not happy.
What? Okay, so in the vein of Jurassic World, what part of murderous robots sent back from the future was too boring for whoever wrote this?
Ugh, God, I don't. This is so amazing that everyone feels they need to turn this up to like 11. Well, not even to 11. This is like to 17. It's just like you guys need to cool it. I know that, you know, it's hard to get people to go see things in theaters these days, but this isn't really the way to entice people to go see things in theaters, because this looks stupid.
No, there's if you were to be like the most diehard Terminator fan and watch all of the movies 100 times and you know all of the little references, this trailer still does nothing for you because it is just batshit crazy in another universe.
Yeah, well, see, if I was still talking to my roommate who was really into Terminator, I would ask him what he thought of this, because this just is so stupid, like so ridiculously stupid, that there seems to be no internal logic or consistency with any of the other Terminator movies. But they still seem to be paying homage to like everything. They have cast that is partially overlapping through Arnold Schwarzenegger. So it's just it's so perplexing. Like, I don't understand. It's like, you guys liked the other movies, some of them anyway, and you feel like this is a continuation in some way onto that. Like, I don't follow. Like, this doesn't feel connected. For me, you watch Terminator and it's a dated, weird movie, but if you had seen it before, it'll push all your nostalgia buttons. And then you watch Terminator 2 and you're like, wow, this is a really well constructed, tight action movie with a lot of drama. And then you watch Terminator 3 and you're like, what on earth possessed you to make this?
Well, Terminator 3 is literally Terminator 2 again, just closer to the Skynet deadline and with poor filmmaking.
Yes, and ridiculousness. And then you have Terminator Salvation, which had the seed of a good idea in it.
Yeah.
But was surrounded by just awfulness. And yeah,
they kind of missed the target. They were aiming for something kind of interesting. They just kind of missed.
Yeah. And with that, I almost wish it had been something else, like not a Terminator franchise movie. Like, they just stripped all of that stuff off of it, you know, then it would have been better. The whole idea, the twist there, would have been far more interesting. And then there was the Connor Chronicle blah 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 series that looked so boring. And then we arrive at what we have now, where we're going back to mine what we had in the past because we know we've screwed up our movies so bad that we need to arc back to what people used to like. But it just doesn't feel like they're doing that because this feels just so out of left field with everything about it. And it reveals so much at the same time. Whereas the previous trailers, it's like, I don't want to see this movie. This looks ridiculous. This one's like, I don't want to see this movie. This looks ridiculous. And how did you show all of this stuff? Like, who is going to be surprised when they sit in the theater and watch this movie now?
Well, I was confused by the previous trailers, just because it looked, again, you could tell that they were playing with some of the time paradox stuff, which is like, oh, that could be interesting. But then you start to elaborate in your mind about, wait, if they're going to play with that, that means they're doing everything from scratch, kind of. And then this trailer too realized, oh, they're doing everything from scratch and more. But this might seem like an odd question, but is this what it felt like as a Star Trek fan when you saw the trailers for the JJ stuff where they... I guess it wasn't necessarily in the trailers, but where they sort of fractured the timeline and went into a parallel universe and kind of just hit the reset button because they could and just did stuff that was similar and kind of fan service, but different because they can, because it's a parallel universe. Is this the same feeling you got, or is this something different?
I'm not a Terminator fan, so I mean, I like two of the movies, but I wouldn't qualify myself as a Terminator fan.
Well, if you like the first two, you're a Terminator fan. Nobody should like the next two.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are people who are like, you know, hardcore into like Terminator comic books and stuff. And the whole, apparently there was a whole thing, like a Terminator versus Batman versus the Predator versus Alien or RoboCop or something. I don't know. Some terrible comic existed. And so, you know, there's all that stuff. But I'm not into any of that. So I don't qualify. I don't think of myself first and foremost as a Terminator fan. I do think of myself as a Star Trek fan. And I did take, umbrage, as someone might say, with the whole resetting thing, because I didn't feel like Star Trek needed to be reset as much as it needed to just have different management and have that different management move the franchise forwards, which I think is part of the problem the second movie had. There's not much forwards when you've gone backwards so far. And so then you are redoing things that have already taken place, in strange and, less interesting ways. And so, you know, while I was more or less won over by seeing the first one, of the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies, I was won over in terms of character. I wasn't won over for anything else. I wasn't won over by the plot or the villain or the ships or the lens flares or anything. Like, none of that did anything for me, but the characters, I was like, okay, fine. You at least caught that. And then in the second one, it was just like, this is a disaster. This shows all the reasons why going back and rebooting something is not as good, as when you have the chance you have the chance to move forwards. And so when I see something like this with Terminator, where it's, they go back and they do all this stuff, it's just like, well, you've tied yourself to your own history and you've gone backwards so that you can selectively say that you're not doing or doing different things or something to rehash whatever you want. And so that, you know, it's sort of more like the second Star Trek reboot, where it's like you've just made this giant circle, and now you're retreading through everyone's favorite moments at the expense of what they liked about them before, and you're also potentially not winning over any new hearts and minds if they don't like your crazy Looney Tunes shenanigans that you're doing with this stuff.
Yeah. And to push that metaphor back onto Terminator, you know, if they were going to do the alternate universe sort of reboot style thing, like you said in Star Trek, where, okay, they may have hit the character stuff and that's sort of what kept you interested. In the Terminator franchise, like, what would be the characters that you gravitate to? I mean, I don't think anyone's going to beat Linda Hamilton as a Sarah Connor. That's just me personally. I just don't see that happening. And the little fellow who played John in the first two movies, he's thus far been the best incarnation of that.
Edward Furlong.
Sure, there
and
you go.
He was only in the second movie. He wasn't born.
Right. Yes.
The first
but
movie.
In that same cast of characters, because they didn't start swapping people out till the third one.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have any affinity for Arnold because he doesn't have a personality. He's a robot. Like, what would we hold on to in Terminator Genisys to say, okay, this whole thing is just a whirlwind of stuff that's vaguely familiar, but I can grab onto this one piece and that is the part that I enjoy in spite of all of this other stuff that I'm not sure about, but we'll see how it plays out. Like, what is that thing going to be in Terminator Genisys? I don't see anything yet, but maybe that's me.
No, I think that even while this contains some stars and harkens back to older stuff, that I think this is really going to wind up in that same action franchise reboot thing that's been happening recently, where it's going to just feel hollow and stupid, and it's just going to be about blurry, streaky action stuff. And it'll, you know, I don't know. We'll see when it comes out. If it does well, then they'll keep making them. And if it doesn't do well, then they'll just reboot it again. They'll put it on the shelf for a couple years. They'll recast different things. They'll maybe this time they'll go back and they'll do Terminator from scratch. Maybe.
Well, they'll have to. Arnold's pretty old at this point.
Well, no, but see, for a lot of people, it's not a Terminator movie if they don't have the Governator in it. But it's just one of those things where it's just like the palpable desperation of these movie studios trying to put together their own Marvel movies is so irritating as someone who enjoys movies that I don't like when I see these transparent, blatant attempts at making these action franchise blockbusters that are put together in sort of an outside-in kind of a way of all of the trappings of what it needs to be, without any sort of core of what it is. And so I am very skeptical about this and Jurassic World and, the Batman versus Superman Twilight of, Injustice or whatever. That these just feel phony. They don't excite me. They don't thrill me in any way. They don't even intrigue me like Tomorrowland does, where I, you know, can't tell you what in the world's going on, but seems like I'll be on board for it. These things where they're just trying to like put stuff back together again from a pile of intellectual property, just hastily gluing it back together, like it's a broken vase, that, you know, somehow worth something if they can get all the pieces to stick together long enough, for the audience to buy it. I'm so tepid on this in terms of my interest.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing I could say is if this movie goes the way we think it will go, this how do you pronounce his name? Jai Courtney, this fellow who plays Kyle Reese, who also contributed to the ruining of the Die Hard franchise. If this goes down the way I think it's going to go down, he is going to officially be dead to me.
Is that he's an actor?
Yeah, he's the guy who plays Kyle Reese in Genesis here. He also played John McClane's son in the abysmal Die Hard 5.
I thought that was Justin Long.
Justin Long was in the fourth one, but not as his kid.
Oh. I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
He was a programmer.
Oh.
He was a hacker.
Oh. Well, that's unusual because he is a Mac. So he should not really be hacking things.
Yeah, yeah, he had a PC in that one. I'm just looking at the writers for Terminator Genesis. One of them is known for Drive Angry, Scream 1 and 2, and Dracula 2000. And the other one is known for Shutter Island, Alexander, Avatar, Night Watch. None of these movies particularly excite me.
One thing stuck out. Avatar. there's a James Cameron property. Not particularly good or original writing, so it's good that you grabbed him.
I mean, the writing is fine. The story is essentially the oldest story you could possibly come up with.
Yeah, yeah. Fern Gully. That's just one of those things where it's just like these things are so glued together by all these various writers, and then it gets spat out of an action director onto the big screen. Blah, I say.
So many people are just trying to be really clever, and it is just not working out. Can't we just simplify maybe a little bit and come up with some interesting original characters and story? Like, I thought we were going to have trouble filling an episode, but I think we've just filled this one to the brim with anger.
Yeah. This was not a happy one. This is like Dan and Joe, Dawn of Anger.
Does your brain bleed? Because it will.
Everybody's brain bleeds because there's blood in it.
Well, that's slightly anticlimactic.